It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time for Fitzy and Shine with Nick Fitzy Stevens and Chris Shine on WEEI.
And they give it to Gray. And Gray for the fourth time tonight. Four touchdowns. And a flag down on the play. Three possessions in this half, three touchdowns, extra point good. All on 80-yard drives. What a ground game tonight. Four for that guy.
Would you believe Shine? Nice little moment here on the Fitzy and Shime show, and thanks for listening, everybody. Whether you're raking up some very dry leaves in the yard, attending some youth sports, shopping out in the car and about, or whatever it is you happen to be doing, thanks for making us a part of your day. Always happy to provide some companion sports style radio for you here on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM WEI, or on the Odyssey app, maybe any of our fabulous affiliates throughout New England as well. So here's our little Saturday afternoon on this day in Boston sports nugget. Would you believe the Jonas Gray game was 10 years ago to this day?
Was it really?
I bet his mentions are blowing up. He's joined us on the radio before, and he's been a guest on the Six Rings podcast, and I've had him as a guest on our live talk show events down at Gillette. Great guy. Runs a youth training and performance program now as well locally. He's a super cool dude. But yeah, it was 10 years ago today. Pats played the Colts on a Sunday night, and out of nowhere, New England Patriots elevate this practice squad kid that they picked up from Miami, or I forget where he came from first, Notre Dame running back Jonas Gray, who carried the ball 37 times for 230-some-odd yards and four touchdowns in one of the great, dominating, random Belichick-Brady performances of that 20-year double dynastic run. That is definitely one of those you remember where you were when this happened games as well. I'm happy that, you know, it was weird that Belichick did Belichick things. A few weeks later, he comes late to practice, and it's like, well, you're on planet. Get the hell out of here. So such a Belichick thing to do. But yeah, 10 years ago. Can you believe that?
That's wild. And that was, yeah, that was definitely one of those games where it's like you look back and it's like one of the greatest one-offs in sports. Mm-hmm. Just like this is the only thing he ever did. And it was amazing. But he never did anything else again his entire career.
Nope. No, really. Never. I don't even know how many. I don't even know if he had 240 yards the rest of his career.
I don't think he did. I don't even know if he started another game for a team.
You know what? I'm going to take the time because there is nothing more fun than people listening to people Google stuff on the radio. Jonas Gray. Here we go. Pro Football Reference. He played in 15 games total. 134 rushes, 588 yards, 5 touchdowns. That means he scored 4 of his 5 pro touchdowns in one game. Yeah, he had 412 rushing yards in 2014 for the Patriots. Then in 2015, he played for Miami and Jacksonville, where he accrued 176 yards. Wow. How about that?
That's crazy.
That is banana town. Wow. That is pretty amazing. But yeah. Like, that just shows you all you need is one signature moment, one play, or one game.
Bananas.
All you need is that one game
that one catch, that one play, and you become a legend. Like, Jonas Gray still, like, is kind of a regional legend because of that one freaking game now 10 years ago. Man, we're getting old.
Yeah, we are very much old. I feel old now. Thank you, Fitzy.
You feel like an old? Sean, come on. It's going to be a long while that I'm going to have to keep your spot warm in the half-century club, so don't.
That's true.
Don't expect the welcome package to be too fresh by the time you get there, okay?
All right, fair enough.
All right, so we've talked a lot of fun things on the program today. Drake May, tomorrow's game, Alex Van Pelt, ownership, the draft coming up, what the New England Patriots need to do to get ready for next season to maximize the five-year window of Drake May, the fact that he could be a sneaky offensive rookie of the year candidate. Shime gave you those odds on FanDuel, 75-1. You should definitely drop a ham on that today. And speaking of dropping hams, Joe, if I could have a little bit of that background NFL music, let's get into Week 11 in the National Football League. That would have been the perfect spot. There. Oh, is this the, of all the different NFL themes we get sometimes on these little montages and program bits, is this the music they play behind Berman on The Fastest 3 Minutes?
Yes, sir.
There it is.
Nice.
Love it. Oh, man.
It's the entire NFL primetime soundtrack.
I love it. That gives me the nicey-niceys. All right, Shime, let's just run through them. Let's just see how we feel about the slate tomorrow. We've already had one game this week where Saquon Barkley won a lot of people their fantasy football game. Sadly, you did not win a lot of money on your parlay because Terry McLaurin didn't basically show up overall. Jaden Daniels had trouble putting it in the six-point house. The Eagles, on the legs of Saquon Barkley in the second half, 26-18 winners over the Commanders. That was an impressive performance for the Eagles, who have now won six straight and look to be a Super Bowl contender, maybe a little bit less the pretender in the NFC. On to the Sunday we go. Your first game, where the New England Patriots will be next Sunday, 1 o'clock tomorrow. And there it is. Travel down to Miami Gardens to take on Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I would kind of lean towards laying the 7 points here with the Dolphins, but I think the better bet here is a Devon Achane touchdown. I think the Dolphins should win, which means they score, and Achane, to me, is the guy who's going to score on a team with Tua at quarterback. He has been awesome with Tua on the field, so I like Achane to be a touchdown scorer in that game.
Okay, you like an Achane touchdown. Tyreek Hill is also playing through something. What is it, some kind of wrist injury. Huh. Man, it's been
Of course, he smartly, did you guys see the celebration on Monday Night Football where he, like, faked wrestling and went down hard?
What a dumbass. Honestly. Sometimes you get the world you deserve. Moving on, I'm kind of with you. I would lay the points on that one as well. I'm confident the Dolphins can get that, should be able to get that one by plus 10, unless Max Crosby ruins the day. By the way, side note, Tua, stop trying to stop people with your head.
Yeah, what an idiot. Stop tackling people.
Stop tackling people.
What are we doing?
If Cool Mo McDaniels can finally get through to his guy while they're watching MacGruber on a flight home, maybe he can tell him, like, just stop putting your head down. It's dumb. Stop doing that. In a game that no one's going to watch, and I mean including their own fans, the Frowns travel down to New Orleans. What a great city to have such a terrible football game against the Taints. Oof, boy, this is that's a rough take. It's the Jameis Winston revenge game.
Yeah, sure. This is a game I won't touch. If you want to bet on the Browns, go for it. They're healthy, I guess, unless you really believe in the Rizzler, which I don't. So I am staying away, but if you're making me pick, I'll take the Browns, I guess.
Who's the Rizzler?
Darren Rizzi, the head coach for the
New Orleans
Saints.
Oh, my God. No. The Rizzler. Oh, my God. Oh, that's the worst name ever. That's such a nickname that kids would give their dad if he's got some swag.
Yeah, he's got no kneecaps and a clogged toilet.
Oh, God. What an awful game.
By the way, Fitzy, wow. I think that people should tell him to stop putting wooden shoes in his toilet if he doesn't want it to be clogged.
Oh, get out of here right now. You stop that. Even I had to tell. Cease and desist order from Uncle Fitzy on that one. 1 o'clock. I know this is going to be one of your favorites tomorrow. Anthony Richardson, the guy who is just so maddeningly inconsistent, but a dynamic talent nonetheless. And the Indianapolis Colts, who could make it, if they kind of get it together, maybe make a little bit of a sneaky wild card push against Aaron Rodgers and the maddeningly frustrating New York Jetropolitans.
Do you want my two-word analysis on this game, Fitzy?
It stinks?
No. Jets stink. Yeah. I am taking the Colts. Give me the Colts money line plus 170. I'll take the Colts plus the points, whatever. Doesn't matter. Give me the Colts. I think Anthony Richardson is going to have a huge game here. I think what, and I said this at the time too, I felt like that benching of Richardson was more a punishment for the whole taking myself off the field than actually telling that to the media. Like, dummy, don't do that. You can, if that's the case, if that's what you're doing, don't tell the media that. Say you were, you felt hurt or something and then you came right back. You don't tell them that you were tired, that you idiot. And so they punished him by making him sit out a couple games. And fun fact, Joe Flacco smells. He's not good. But Anthony Richardson, I think, is going to have a big game here against a Jets team that is just horrendous. Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor, to the house. Give me the Colts.
Wow. Did you hear this week Sauce Gardner was complaining the other day when he did his late week media avail that Ulbrich, the guy that took over for scapegoat Saleh, who, boy, what a great move that was, Jets. Nailed it with that and replacing Hackett as play caller. Everything has worked out. The Devontae Adams, fifth most targeted receiver in the NFL, but they got one win in the last several weeks.
I would just like to say an Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor, same game parlay, both to score a touchdown, is almost 6-1. So you're welcome.
6-1? Ooh.
Yep. Richardson's plus 210 on his own. Jonathan Taylor minus 110.
Very, very tasty. Sauce Gardner complained the other day that Jeff Ulbrich showed them a how to tackle clip, and Sauce Gardner was like, I know they need it. It's pathetic. But then he was like, yeah, we don't need no tackling seminar. Like,
But actually, you do. The rest of your team stinks, Sauce. Figure you guys can't stop the run, and half of stopping the run is just tackling a guy.
God, what an absolute toilet fire they are. And I gotta say,
I love it.
Can't get enough of it. All right. Moving down south where the Patriots were just 2 weeks ago, the Vikings licking some recent wounds. Sam Darnold starting to look like Sammy Seaghost, the old Lego quarterback, takes the talented offense of Addison, Jefferson, and company down to Nash Vegas against the Titans, who have a sneaky good defense, as we found out a couple weeks ago. Is this a get-right game for the Vikes, or do they get dragged into the Nashville Music City mud?
Yeah, I think the Vikings are a good teaser leg here. Tease it down, basically make it a pick 'em. I don't want to lay the 6 here, though. I just don't trust Sam Darnold. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, I trust KOC. I trust Brian Flores in that defense to make it crazy for Will Levis at quarterback. But I just don't trust Sam Darnold, and so I won't lay the full 6 here.
Seen ghosts.
Yeah, it's just not great.
Same here. I just can't. I don't know why. I can't. It's great what Kevin O'Connell has gotten out of him, but there's been talk maybe he could get benched soon, this after he was on an absolute heater to start the season. J.J. McCarthy had to have a second surgery on his knee.
Not great for J.J.
No, that sucks. It really does. Like, a second surgery, that's like what Brady had back when he had his ACL, MCL. He did too much too quickly. I'm sure the latest Michigan quarterback did the same thing. Then they had to go back in and fix it up. I bet he'll be fine for next year, and I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Same.
It was a real bummer that he hurt his knee and had to have surgery and was out for the year, because I would love to see what he could do with the talent the Vikes have. I think the Vikings win, but that's also a game that Scott Hansen will be telling us more about, as opposed to us tuning into it. One more before the break, Shime. Speaking of good defenses against the pass involving the NFC North, what do you make of this one? The Packers, the Bears, losing 19-3 to the Patriots. Not the same team ever since the Hail Maryland. They fire offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, likely scapegoated as well. Although, you know, he wasn't able to get through to Caleb Williams and wasn't able with all that talent to make the ball move, let alone score it. With their quality defense, they host the Packers, coming off of a bye week. Now, the Packers are a 6.5-point favorite at Soldier Field, which is such a slap in the face. Can the Bears finally get their offense going as well against a Packers team you can run on? They're tougher to throw on than you think. Or does Jordan Love come in there and basically just end the season for Da Bears?
Yeah, I don't love the way Jordan Love has played of late. He's clearly hurt. So what my play here is, I'm actually going to go with the team total under for the Chicago Bears, which right now is 17.5 points. I don't think there's any way on planet Earth that this offense gets to 17 points. I just don't see it. So I'll take the under here, because what they did was they fired Shane Waldron, who before the season, Jackson Smith and Jigba was asked about Shane Waldron and what Chicago Bears fans should be excited about. And he said, quote, are we live? alive, end quote, because he had nothing good to say about Shane Waldron. They fire Shane Waldron, and they promote the guy who was who ended up being the interim offensive coordinator for Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers last year, Thomas Brown, who struggled immensely. I don't think this offense gets any better anytime soon. Give me the team total under 17.5 for the Chicago Bears tomorrow.
That almost seems like free. Quite honestly, that seems like free money.
That's where I'm at. Like, I think they would need at least a defensive touchdown, if not two defensive special teams touchdowns, in order to hit that number.
Yeah, this is the end, man. What a curious case the 2024 Chicago Bears may ultimately make when we look back on it, because we all shouted from the mountaintops, or at least our social media platforms, this is the way to do it. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Odunze, Komet, Swift, Caleb Williams. They should have they could be playoff bound. This could be their first 4,000-yard passer. There are so many issues with this team right now. Having been out there last week, the fans are so bummed, but they're also just resigned to a perpetual and repetitive fate of, yeah, well, we're the Bears. We don't really do much. This is, you know, this is how
we do. And the Packers own them.
Yeah, we just ruin quarterbacks. What a bummer, man. It is such a bummer. Yeah, I kind of like the Packers in that one as well, but that's a great bet, Shime. It's 3 points last week against the Patriots, who started a bunch of undrafted free agents, sixth and seventh rounders on that defense. DeMarcus Covington blitzing the face off of Caleb Williams to the tune of 9 sacks.
Yeah, Fitzy, yeah. Do you know the last time they scored more than 17.5 points?
2023? No, it was in London against the Jags, right?
4 weeks ago in London against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their last three games have been 15 against the Commanders, 9 against the Cardinals, and 3 against the New England Patriots. They're just getting worse.
The Bears.
Oh, the worst. Yeah, that's bad. That is bad. That's the definition of bad news Bears right there for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, speaking of the Lions and the Jags, we'll get to that one. When we come back in just a few moments here, we got the rest of the slate to run through. Some holiday questions, a nice little story I want to share about football as well. Before we wrap it up at 3 o'clock and throw it to Boston College football, you're always welcome to join the Fitzy and Shime party at 617-779-7937. And now we welcome to the program perhaps the best trending sports news reader in all of the lands, the one and only Joe Braverman.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Sauce, you mentioned tackling. This morning, Ulbrich said that he gave a tackling presentation for the team. What did you guys kind of take away from that, and how quickly can something like that actually return results on the field?
We know how to tackle. We got to make the tackles. That's really it. We've been doing it. Simple. We really don't need no presentation. You know, I know where he was coming from when he did it, but us as professional athletes, we got to be able to make tackles, me included for sure.
Here's the old Happy Sauce himself, Sauce Gardner, Ahmad Gardner, the stud cornerback of the New York Jetropolitans as they are currently enjoying an awesome season. They are just a mess. My God. Isn't it crazy? I love how people go back and forth all the time. Like, there's a meme every Sunday with that photo of, like, that Michael Scott and that other manager from The Office, where it's like Rookie quarterback, absolutely no talent on the team whatsoever. Development season, and the Jets are the other manager, and it says, like, you know, it says, like, went all in, make or break season. Both have 3-7 record. I don't know if you've seen those surfacing around, Shine, but, like.
No.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, one when he has long hair.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. The Pats and the Jets have the same record, and one team is in the middle of the turnaround, and the other one is just an absolute disaster. How do you, like, who can help you turn things around? Like, they thought Aaron Rodgers would come in and be their savior. Poof. They are learning the hard way.
Yeah, they need a total overhaul of that organization.
Which way are they going to go? Which way are they going to go? They have no direction whatsoever. They're going to lean into Rodgers. I know, but, like, they have no coach next year. General manager could get fired. I don't know what they're going to. They're stuck with Rodgers for at least one more year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with that mess?
You basically make Aaron Rodgers the GM and just kind of lean into it for another year, see if he fixes it. And if he doesn't, then you absolutely blow it up at the end of next season. That's kind of your only hope at this point, is that Rodgers is kind of happy and figures things out. Otherwise, you're screwed. I don't think he's going to. I think Rodgers is washed up, and so I don't think that they have much of a future next season.
Yeah, no, I don't either. And I don't care who they get. I mean, are they going to
throw the bat? By the way, it looks like Robert Saleh probably wasn't the problem there.
Probably not. Old Big Game Bob was probably not the problem in New York. Which way do they go? Do they throw the bag at Ben Johnson, or do they ask Rex to come back and fix the mess?
No, they definitely don't bring Rex back, cuz that's I highly doubt Rodgers would want to date Rex.
For it.
Yeah, I know. He wants to be in contention. He's not going to get it. Unless they can Rodgers or he retires, Rex is not going to be the head coach of the Jets, as much as he may want it. It's going to be whoever Rodgers wants. If he identifies a guy he really likes, that's who they'll bring in, is my guess.
I just don't understand how he is allowed.
Cry me a river.
How is he allowed to continue dictating the terms when he's done squat for them?
Well, because his name is Aaron Rodgers, and they have they've put so many eggs in this basket at this point that
they are so desperate. To have a winning team, not even a Super Bowl team, a winning team. They are so desperate.
Yep. Wouldn't it be, you want to know the ultimate comedy? Is maybe that Mike McCarthy gets canned by the Cowboys and Rodgers is like, yeah, we should bring in McCarthy.
Oh my God.
That'd be hilarious. I would scream with excitement. That'd be so much fun.
Immediately have to go to the pants store because I would wet the ones I was wearing.
They would suck so much. I can't wait to bet the win total under on the Jets next season.
Isn't it going to be fun?
People are going to get hyped up about them again this offseason because they're going to do a bunch of stuff, and then they're going to stink again next year because Rodgers is washed.
Absolutely.
It's so ridiculous.
Absolutely worst, if you will. And the Packers fans probably could have told you as well. All right. Let's go back to the Sunday slate. We were halfway through before we were so rudely interrupted by our station's efforts to pay the bills. Let's go to that Jags-Lions game. Joe, give me that music, baby.
Yeah.
To the Motor City we go. Ah, Detroit Lions, the hottest team in the NFL, and likely now on many power rankings lists, the number one team in the National Football League. And my pick for Super Bowl champions, oh, please, Lions. Please do not allow the Kansas City Chieftains to three-peat as well. Tomorrow, they started at 12.5-point favorites. I believe the line is now up to 14 points. The Lions are a double-tutty favorite over McCorkle Jones and the Saguars of Saxonville.
Yeah, they should be.
And you know what? I feel super comfortable laying that money.
I 100% do, too. You look at last week's game, the Detroit Lions, Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions. They won the football game. That's not going to happen again this week. They are going to dominate at home against this Jaguars team. They're going to eat Mac Jones alive. The Detroit Lions, according to Havoc Rate, which basically is defensive success rate that includes passes broken up, pressures, sacks, all those kinds of stats. The Detroit Lions lead the league in Havoc Rate. And this defense is going to be a nightmare for McCorkle. So I would love to lay all 14 points with the Detroit Lions, and I will bet on a Mac Jones interception, which is minus 175. Don't care. I'll lay the juice.
Minus 5 set. Are you kidding?
Yep.
There are so many criminal lines. People, there is no reason why the Fitzy and Shime Show should not make you all the money you need to pay off your credit cards, have the happiest holidays, like... There's so much money to be made on tomorrow's slate. Are you joking?
Nope, good, not at all. If there was a way to bet multiple interceptions for Mac Jones tomorrow, I would.
Same as well. Does Doug Peterson get McCorkled after the game if this is like 41-17?
Yes, he should have been McCorkled about 3 weeks ago.
What's your feel on, you know what, we'll save this one for last. Ravens, Steelers, 1 o'clock, human car accidents, AFC North football, the way it was meant to be played. What's the line in this game, Sean?
So I see it 3.5 right now in favor of the Ravens in Pittsburgh. Look, I'm normally a big fan of the Mike Tomlin dog spot, but I just think this Ravens offense is so, so good. I will probably bet the Ravens, but I think the better play for me, I kind of like the over in the game of 48.5. I also think just betting the Ravens team total over at 24.5 is probably the way to go. I think they probably score 27 points this game. This Ravens offense is freaking electric. Their defense kind of stinks, which leads me to the over, but I will take the Ravens team total over for
sure.
Oh,
I like that. No, their secondary is absolute trash.
They give up the most explosive plays in football. It's not even close.
Explosive plays and havoc rates. People, you don't get this kind of content and description anywhere else but on Fitzy and Chime. Here on EEI. By the way, side note, Chime, back to the analysis in a second. A couple weeks ago, we were on the radio, and you introduced me to average separation score, or
ass.
Yes. Well, it turns out one of my good buddies from the neighborhood and his kid, who we do youth sports with, more on that in our closing segment, they were listening. And so they showed up at practice later that week, and they were like, hey, Coach Nick, Jalen Polk has a great ass.
I love that. Good. Good.
Outstanding.
Teaching the kids about great stats.
To the
teaching
big
kids about ass.
That's Uncle Fitzy's job.
That's
right
what Mike
there.
Tyson tried to do last night.
The Ravens secondary is absolute trash. But also not the Ravens good. Are right now, if I had to put my money on it, it is a Ravens Lions Super Bowl. And back to New Orleans they would go. Hopefully this time the power can stay on the whole time. That Ravens offense is absolute dynamite at this point. I would pay top dollar just to be able to watch that on my television box, preferably not on Netflix. To the big bell bottom we go out in Santa Clara, which is not really that close to San Francisco. The Seahawks take on the 49ers. So the 49ers are 6.5-point favorite, I believe. But for some reason, I feel like the Seahawks always play them tough. And I still don't love this 49ers secondary. Talk me out of why I think maybe the Hawks would be a decent, not money line, but spread cover tomorrow.
Yeah, I think for me, this is it's a kitchen sink game for the 49ers, right? They're finally starting to get a little bit more healthy. They have to win this if they want to stay in the playoff race. Otherwise, the Cardinals might just run away with the division. So for me, I think the 49ers have to win. I don't love 6.5. That seems like a little bit too much for me. But the bet I do love tomorrow is Geno Smith to throw an interception at -130. He leads the league currently with 10 interceptions, and he's played one less game than the majority of the league at this point since the Seahawks have already had their bye. They throw it a ton. Seattle just hasn't been able to run the ball effectively, even with a guy like Kenneth Walker. So I think there's an opportunity here for the 49ers defense to pick off Geno. So that's going to be my bet in this game, is Geno Smith to throw a pick.
All right. A mile high in the football sky we go. The Falcons, who are only 6-4 in the season. I thought they'd be better, but then again, nothing's really that great in the NFC South. Travel to take on Bo Nix. This new running back, Autric
Estime, baby, out of Notre Dame.
Autric Estime, wow, yeah. New running back, who it is, with the Broncos and that world-class defense that Sean Payton and company are bringing to the table.
Yeah, shout out to my guys over at the NFL Stock Exchange podcast. Huge Autric Estime guys. Love them. Trevor Sikkema and Connor Rogers, big Autric Estime guys. Fitzy, I think I like the Broncos. I mean, you and I talked about it before the season started. I was buying into the Broncos then, and I think I've been right to this point. They're technically in the playoff hunt. They've been pretty good. Bo Nix hasn't been awful. So I think I like the Broncos at home tomorrow. The defense is legit, and I kind of think the Falcons are frauds. So I'm going to go with Sean Payton, Bo Nix, and the Broncos.
Yeah, I feel like the Falcons are going to win. Are going to win the NFC South by defraud, if anything else. But, like, no, they're not great. They really aren't. And, boy, did we steal a pick from the Falcons for Judon.
Oh, yeah, that was... Talk about Elliott Wolf. He gets credit for that one. That was a great move.
Yeah, he does, indeed. My best bet of the day tomorrow, 425, the game of the week, the Kansas City Chiefs, who are the postseason nemesis of the Buffalo Williams, travel up to Orchard Park to take on the 8-2 Josh Allen Bills. The Bills are a 2.5-point home favorite, I believe. I know the numbers for Mahomes whenever he's a dog, especially on the road.
11-3 against the spread straight up. Or, I'm sorry, straight up, not against the
spread. Straight up, yeah. He usually wins the game, let alone covers. Tomorrow, I think the Kansas City Chiefs and all the issues they've had on the season, the horseshoe is out. Their luck is nil. I think the Bills absolutely lay one on them tomorrow.
Yeah, for me, it's the Chiefs normally win in the margins this year, right? They've won a lot of games by one score. I saw a chart yesterday or 2 days ago that if you flipped every game that was decided by one score, the Chiefs would actually be 2-7. So they win in the margins, and one of the ways they did that was with Harrison Butker, who's not playing. Instead, they picked up a kicker off the Jets practice squad, and if he's on the Jets practice squad, that means he sucks. Spencer Schrader is going to be their kicker tomorrow. I think that will make a difference in this game. I will also take the Bills and lay the 2 points.
What he said, please, and then I'll take the check. Sunday night game, the best defense in the NFL right now. Old Khakis McHarbaugh and the whole milk Chargers. And the Herbie the Love Bug and all the running backs that he picked up from the Baltimore Ravens host at a stadium that'll hold as many Bengals fans, if not more than Chargers fans. Joey Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Are the Bengals good enough to break through that incredibly stingy Chargers defense? Or can Herbie, Dobbins and company get her done?
The Chargers have made me a lot of money this year. They have been criminally underrated, in my opinion. I think this defense is, like you said, one of the best in football. But I'm nervous about Sunday night. It looks like T. Higgins might play for the Bengals. If that's the case, this number might flip. It might be Bengals minus 1.5 at kickoff. If that's the case, I love the Chargers in a tease. Tease them up to 7.5. This game will absolutely be a margin victory. One way or another. But my favorite play of the night is the under 48. I think that is the absolute lock. Yep. The Chargers have not given up more than 20 points to an opponent all year. I think that is bound to be close. Like, I think the Bengals could get to like 23. But even if they get to 23, I don't see the Chargers scoring, 28 or something like that. I think if the Bengals get to 23, they probably win. So I will take the under 48 in Sunday Night Football.
I'm not going to waste anyone's time with Texans at Cowboys on Monday Night Football. You all should have raced to the waivers in your fantasy leagues to pick up the Texans defense because they're mad, they're pretty solid, and the Cowboys are starting Cooper Rush. That's all you need to know about that one. And let's leave them with tomorrow's game at Gillette. 1 o'clock, L.A. Rams against your New England Patriots. The Rams, a 5-point road favorite at the Patriots in New England. Beautiful day outside. Stafford versus Drake, McVay versus Mayo. Over under of 44.
Yeah, normally if you like the dog, the under is generally the play because it means it's the closer game. I tend to disagree. I think if you like the dog tomorrow, the over is the play because I think this is going to be a point scored game if the Patriots can get things going on offense. So I kind of like the over 43 in this game a little bit, and I like the Patriots as live dogs. I'll bet them on the money line. Somebody on the text line is asking, what's the difference between money line and not? Basically, quick summation, money line just means to win the game. If you're pitting a team on the money line, it's just to simply win the football game. Otherwise, the spread comes into play and you need to either win or lose by a certain number of points. So if you're betting money line, if you just want to do it the simple way, that's the way you do it. But I like the Patriots tomorrow, kind of on the money line at plus 170. And then I like the over in the game. I see 43, so shop around, get the best number you can get.
There we have it. I'm with you on that one. Man, I'm with you. I'm ride or dying with you a lot tomorrow.
I've liked the board a lot the last couple weeks, man. I got to tell you, this week is good.
Yeah, and didn't you go out have yourself a nice tasty steak last night because of a parlay you hit with your boys recently?
I did. 2 weeks ago now, my boys and I hit on our own version of the Bozo Parlay, which we've done now for a couple of years. Hit nice and big there, so I took my winnings, took my lady out. We went, had a nice porterhouse steak. Oh, that thing was so good, and the sides were delightful. We went to the old Library restaurant up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Nice. It was quaint little place. The steak, delightful. Oh, it was so good.
Porterhouse medium rare.
That's exactly what I got, baby. And they had a cognac peppercorn steak sauce. My God, it was so good.
Oh, kind of like a fancy au poivre, if you will. Nicely done. Ooh, yes. That's good stuff right there, Shime. And the sides were?
We got the truffle fries. lobster mac, and then some of the roasted Brussels sprouts to add some greens.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
Not the cream spinach, which people always insist on ordering when they go to a steakhouse, because that's the only place anyone makes or consumes cream
spinach.
That's true. Yeah, a solid choice, man. Solid choice.
It was
well done, and I'm sure you probably had to awaken nice and early to awaken 180, all of that off, but I know you were.
I went and did 3 miles at the gym, so I feel good.
Boy, good job. All right, 617-779-7937 for final thoughts. When we come back, we'll have a few minutes to tidy up on sports, holiday, and real life matters and put a bow and a button on another fabulous edition of FNS Fitzy and Chime here on EEI. 2:50 p.m., just a couple minutes left here on the FNS Fitzy and Chime program before we take you out to Boston College football. This is the SMU game. What is, and SMU is 14th ranked, correct?
Number 14, yes.
Number 14 in the nation on what is not necessarily, it's a little bit of a lackluster college football Saturday, although I did watch a kid make a 30-yard field goal at the tailgate on college game day.
I saw that.
For $800,000, $400,000 for charity and $400,000 for he and his girlfriend. That was badass.
Well, you know what's going to be another good game is the nightcap here on WEEI, Tennessee and Georgia. Ding!
That'll be a great game.
That is going to be, you know, I'm so glad my night will be over. I got to jump in the car. I got to MC a fundraiser tonight. And my night's going to be over around 9:30, which means with commercials and all the Herb Streeting and whatnot, I'll probably have a full second half of football to watch, and this will be a night I'll be glad I'll be staying up to watch sports as opposed to last night, which still has me living in Regretsylvania. Shime, Braverman, with our last couple minutes, if I may, just a quick moment to share here on the frequency modulated airwaves. I may touch on it again tomorrow with Hart, because this has been a running topic for us on the Six Rings and Football Things podcast this year, but last night, old coach Fitzy, in my first year as head coach in any sort of football program, I was the coach of my son Thomas's grade 5-6 flag football team.
Nice.
Put together a nice little program. We drafted the kids. We put together a team at the end of August. Tried to put a real program together. I hosted a pizza social in the park with all the kids. A bunch of my kids, my son's friends were priority draft picks. I wanted to put them all together on a team so they had a good time, get the parents together and let them know that I describe my coaching style as Dad Lasso. It's very positive, lots of bad jokes. But also, I've watched enough football in my life to figure out I have a decent idea of what I'm doing out there. Well, sure enough, with the talent that we were able to acquire, we put together a wagon of a flag football team, if such a thing is possible. We were 9-0, undefeated, ran through the regular season, highest point differential in the league. We scored the most points. We gave up the fewest points. Coached with my buddy, who last year was the head coach and I was his assistant. We flipped roles this year. He was defense and I was the offensive coordinator as well. And we played a really good team that we played twice during the regular season as well. They gave us our money's worth and then some in one of the most thrilling football games I've ever been party to, attending, or involved with in any capacity. Long story short, the Oregon Ducks of Fairfield, Connecticut completed the mission. The job is done. Final score 36-22 over Ohio State, a 10-0 perfect season, and my kid's first ever trophy and championship. And I'll tell you, it is one of the things I am the proudest of.
Way to go, Fitzy!
That's awesome.
I told the kids before the game, like, Coach Fitzy had a head so big he couldn't even play football in high school. I never won a championship. It's not about me. It's about you. I want to give you the memory that 30 years from now, you can turn around and annoy your wife and friends and say, yeah, I had this guy. He was on the radio. He worked for the Patriots and stuff. He was our coach. And we had a perfect season. I have this cool little trophy from it.
From one championship coach to another, good job.
Thank you, Shime. It was honestly one of the most gratifying, satisfying, and fulfilling moments and seasons and falls of my entire lifetime. My cup runneth over right now. So that is one happy guy you're going to see joking around on the Jumbotron tomorrow at Gillette. Thank you both very much for allowing me to share that, as well as giving me 3 great hours of radio. Once again, if you like the show, congratulate Joe. If you didn't, blame Braverman. Shime Time, you can hear him. He'll be with the Drake May Report Card tomorrow on the Six Rings postgame show and Monday on Patriots Monday here at WEEI. Thanks, everyone, for letting us be a part of your Saturday. Enjoy the BC game, and let's go Patriots tomorrow.
See ya!
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy.
or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.